Okay. Hello, this is Teachings in the Air with Sahil Zit. It's a great day for me. I'm coming to you from the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish people. Oh, I know so many of their people. They're beautiful people. It's good to be back in their territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking people. I just like to acknowledge them today and confess to them that I thank them for being who they are, being beautiful people. Today's podcast is called We Are All One. And I called it that because actually the podcast is about racism in this country. You know, I worked since 1976 as a human service worker. Started in my community as an addictions counselor. You know, in 1976. So that means I stopped drinking and doing drugs. So I put my heart into helping the people. My heart and my soul, you can say, in my mind. It's like I went out and I was wanting to help the people. Because I come from that, you know, and I tell people, and some people get ashamed when I say that, I know, but I need to tell the truth. That I used to drink till I fall on the ground. My friends and relatives would tell me. And I was doing drugs. So when I stopped, I thought, gee, I'm the right one to help these people. So I started working. You might as well say I was working 24/7. Maybe 3 or 4 years. Over the years, I would be weary and depressed as I witnessed a devastation of individuals, families, and communities that became unmanageable and dysfunctional in their lives because of alcohol and drug abuse. I watched that around me. I would see my relatives and my friends seemingly lost. Pilp in my language, they say, oh, they're lost. So I kept working, and it seemed like I was Sisyphus, the guy that's pushing a round rock up the mountain, and it gets so high, and then it rolled down, and I have to start over again. In a way, I felt like that. So I've been part of a system that's wanted to provide a relevant way of healing. You know, because of that, I guess I could see the helplessness and the hopelessness of my people in their eyes and their body language. You know, this was clearly reflected the way the people were living. Like the many seemed to be bored, listless, weary, depressed. It's like their lives had become hateful to them. And I knew that feeling because that's where I come from. My life had become hateful for me. So I'd pick up the bottle and I would drink. And it's really sad because I'll tell you today I had children. After I sobered up, I have lots of regrets. You know, over the years, I asked myself, how can this be? Because I'd hear stories from my grandmother, my grandfather, how our people used to live. And I used to wish I was back there. I was born 300 years too early. I wished I was there when they were all speaking the language and somebody'd sing and they'd all get up and dance. And they said our communities were clean. My uncle says they'd all go together. And they'd all go pick berries up in the mountain. Everybody. And my uncle says, you know, nephew, how when we left the camp, it was like we weren't there. There was no human beings there. That's how careful we were with the land. It was clean. So I asked myself, how did we get this way? What happened? Today, over the years, I figured out why we became this way. And in one of my moments of anger, because to me, when I lose control of myself and I get angry, it's not being indigenous. But I was angry one day and I said, I know why. It's because of the invasive species that come here. I was calling Europeans invasive species. Because an invasive species is when a species comes in and takes over. And it's hard to get rid of that invasive species. Like knapweed, where I'm from. This weed come in and start taking over. It's hard to get rid of. So that's what I was calling Europeans, invasive species. You know, I don't say that anymore. But that's how I felt at that moment in my life. That's why we're like this. You know, those human beings come here to this land to occupy it and take it over, to subjugate the Uchelmilcha, their original people. You know, that species or those Europeans took root. And now they have full political and economic control of where my grandmother and all her relatives used to pick berries. By the Fraser River, where they dried salmon. Canada says they now control that. You know that they became privileged in this country and my people became poor. We were oppressed by assimilation policies that were meant to destroy our way of life. That's what happened. And I don't like to dwell on what happened, but I think I know that I talk about this to create understanding. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. Because I want to be a fighter. I want to be a warrior, like my late cousin said. Geez, Jerry, you worry too much. You're a worrier. He says, I want you to be a warrior. A warrior is someone that is brave and fearless when they protect the people and they protect the land. And I said, okay, cousin, I'm going to be a warrior. But because of that colonization process, there now exists a dysfunctional, codependent relationship between all First Nations and Canada. Not all First Nations as individuals, but the groups. Codependent means that we want to manipulate somebody to make us feel good. That's what codependency is about. And a husband and wife, if the husband's always saying to the wife, you do this, that's the only way I'm going to be happy, that's codependent. You know, living under the Canadian rule of law has been unjust. You know, because justice means absolute fairness for all. And it hasn't been fair for us. And it's reflected in the conditions in our communities today. Our population is expanding and our reserves aren't growing. So pretty soon the reserves will be all houses. There's no room to start a business there. And the sad part is that the resources that have been taken to help Canada, very little come back to us where we used to hunt and fish. Oh, gee, I hear the stories from my granny. We'd go up there. There's a mountainside. That's where the wild potatoes and onions are, son. And we go and the flowers come up. That's how we know they're there. And we dig them up. And we have enough for all winter for everybody in our community. I don't know how many years later they come and they clear cut. They take all the trees. My late mother says, they come, they take, and they go, and we stay here. You know, when a system is failing, and believe me, the system is failing today because we got climate change and global warming happening. When a system is failing, it's because of the individuals that are running a system, or the system itself is faulty. There's something wrong with it. And I think it's a combination. We've been put under a system that has been designed for failure. And that is, of course, is the Indian Act. So that's part of what happened, you know, and I started to figure out what happened with us. How come I could drink till I fall on the ground? How come I can run away from my culture? You know, it's because of what happened. So what the challenge that we have today is trauma that has been caused by oppression through racist policy and law that were designed to put down and marginalize the people. Marginalize, push them to the side. And this, I see this all over the land. Trauma is a Greek word which literally means to wound, to get a cut. And we've been wounded, and that cut is finally healing. It hasn't been, you know, my people were dying in 1854 from smallpox. They started to get wounded then by the policies of this country. And we're now healing from it. I know we are. It took a while, but our people are really resilient. So not only our mind was wounded, our bodies were wounded, and our spirits were wounded. They were cut. And the reason why was to create privilege for the newcomers to our territories. And that's what happened. So I understood. I started to have an understanding of what happened, why Jerry got the way Jerry is, why Sahil said. For 13 years of my life, or 14 years of my life, I was a drunk. I finally started to understand. And when I understood, I stopped beating myself up so much. I started to move, I started to heal, I started to develop, I started to get stronger in my wish to help the people. And, and I'm so glad that happened. But when I say we are all one, and I said this podcast is about racism, because racism, the word racism, is two words. Race means our ethnicity. like I'm statly am. Ism is a word too. And it's talking about the negative for that noun or that description of me as statly am. That there's something negative there between me and other races. That's racism. There's alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic. So there's a negative thing between me and alcohol. As soon as I start drinking, I start blacking out. And I'd be drunk for days and weeks on end. Alcoholism. It's a negative. So anything with an ism in it is saying there's something negative about it. Just this year, I was listening to a politician. He says, capitalism. I said, they're even admitting, maybe they don't know it, that doing this capitalism is negative. That's why climate change and global warming is happening. So to create understanding is what I'm all about. Because when I understood, I started to heal. You know, and you know, it's been an incredible journey for me. I get depressed. I get motivated. I get burnt out. I'd help people want to stop drinking. I'd work with them. Somebody had phoned me, oh, your client's drunk downtown. I go down and get them, you know, and I would get tired. But I knew what they were feeling. So I wouldn't give up. And I guess probably the biggest thing is I seen the looks in the eyes of their children when they see their parents under the influence. That is one of my big motivators. So I had helped them. So part of my understanding of what happened is that we were traumatized. And I say there are six R's. And the R I want to talk about today is racism. You know, and I remember. I forget what year it was that I started to. First time, because up until that time, I didn't think about racism. Even though white people would treat me negative and treat me bad, and I see what happens to everybody, I still wasn't calling it racism. You know? And I think about it, gee, that's really something. Yeah, and I started. That one time I said, when I was depressed, and I started to look at racism, that it was a social, political construct, that somebody created this image, that we're not human, or we're partly human. Actually, in history books, it talks about that. In 1492, I think it's Christopher Columbus went back to Europe and said, there's people there where I went to. And he's talking about the Caribbean. And the Pope says, are they Christians? Christopher says, no, they're not. They're pagans. And the Pope said the first racist words about us. That land is terra nullius. It's an empty land. So he was not recognizing us as human beings. It gave the colonizers permission to do what they want with us, because the Pope had lots of authority in those times. That's where the construct, the seed of racism in my mind come from. I want to let your listeners know, Sahil is talking about his understanding. This is my understanding. I want that to be clear. So if you're going to blame anybody about what I'm saying, you blame Sahil Thit. So it was created. Racism was created. Because a human being's not born to not like someone because they look different. I know that today. So those colonizers that come here, there's very few of them really, because they're appointed by the king and queen. Like Christopher Columbus was appointed by Queen Isabella of Spain, and she gave him money to buy 3 ships to come over. Then the king and queen of England appointed colonial governors. Go set up a colony for us. Get more territory for us. Get resources for us. So I started to see those people, the colonizers, the real colonizers, were in love with power. They go crazy by being rich. And they want more. They don't even know, seem to know when's enough's enough. They just want more. They're greedy. They were driven by the love of power. And you go to any lengths to gain power. We look back now, and I look back, and my elders telling me they were planting smallpox blankets in Statlium territory, and it killed 85% of our people. The people that were doing that were individual Europeans rubbing the blankets, and somebody's got smallpox and giving it to my relatives. That's an evil mind. That's what in love with power does. So remember, and I said, it's all about gaining new territory and resources, such as fur, precious metals like gold, land, beaver, you know, pelts, for the sovereigns and the royals in Europe. So I made up my mind, that's where racism comes from. Because I was reflecting on my life, and I was wondering, where does this blatant hatred for me come from? I'd see a white person in the local town where I'm from, and they look at me, and it's like, you know that saying, like it could burn holes through you with a look in their eye. I'd see people looking at me like that. I say, where is that? What is this? You know, it's... I knew I hadn't done nothing to them. I hadn't hurt them. To warrant that hurt that they're laying on me through racism. That I didn't do anything wrong. And I started to understand then that they believed I was inferior to them. That I'm not at their level. At this time now, I started to use the word racism. And I knew racism was alive and well in Canada. And my feeling at that time was that I would ignore them. And that I was going to not stoop to the level of a racist. I'm not going to be like them. I was literally saying that to myself when I started to understand racism. I did not confront racism, because at that time I was part of a movement to bring healing to the people around addictions and violence and suicide. Racism was low on a totem pole, you know, in my priorities. You know, on the very first time I started to work on racism, I was working as a consultant. In 1994, I was called to NVIT to work with the staff and faculty. And they were wanted me to do a presentation for their staff and the faculty, all the teachers and the ones that work in that institute. And they said, the one that hired me said, yeah, I want you to do a presentation about racism. You know, we're starting to have problems with that. And gender issues. And I remember I said, yeah, I'll do the racism. But gender issues, I think you should get a female to come in to do that. Because the gender issues she was referring to was chauvinism. The men were treating the women faculty and staff bad. The men faculty and the men staff. Chauvinism. Remember, ism is a negative. You know, so I started to do my research, do my workshop.
Hey, oh, hey, yo, oh. Hey, yo, oh.
You know, so this racism, hey, oh, oh. I started to demystify it for myself. And started to realize what's important here is my power, not the power of the racist. The big surprise for me was the church's influence to create the social construct called racism, to have racism in the society called Canada. You know, that church influence. You know, that actually was the root of oppression. When the Pope said that's terra nullius, it's empty land. And then, of course, they started calling us pagan, savage, heathen Indians. It's a negative. So it created fear in the minds of the ones that were coming here, the immigrants and the settlers. So when they'd see an indigenous person, they, oh, that's a devil worshiper. Like these rattles and things that they use, that's a devil's tool. Their language is a devil's language. So of course people would be afraid. I know that because as a child I was told about the devil. And I was told about hell. At the residential school and school, we'd have religious instruction every day. And they taught me about the devil and about hell. I remember I asked, how long people go to hell? And they said, forever. Boy, did that scare me. I was frightened. How do you get to hell? Oh, and you tell lies, you don't go to church, you know, and you steal and you do things, you know. Your soul gets covered with black and you'll go to hell. That was frightening. So I accepted that that's how Europeans were thinking. That they were frightened. And they were thinking that we're devils. Even that term redskin. You know, because the devil's supposed to have a red hide, red skin, and horns, and a tail, and hoofs. Oh, that was frightening for me as a child. You know, so and then I started to understand how come the Europeans were afraid of us. And they accept this social construct of racism. So I know that's where it comes from today. You know, Canada is a highly organized system of a race-based privilege. I heard one of our political leaders early on when I was in my 20s, and he was saying we're like monkeys at the feast. We're eating the crumbs that fall off the table. He says, I want a third order of government. I want a piece of the action. He wanted jobs for his people. So that's what I mean, highly organized. And it's held together by a belief of race supremacy.